Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everyone. Mahalo. Welcome to the AMAA Masters and Pioneers Radio Network and Parts Unknown with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum. We're so happy to be in your home on this Tuesday evening and to share with you. But before we get into the show, I have something I have to share with all my listeners. And we lost another history general this year, in the early of the year, the first one of the year. He's from Texas. His name is Mr. Ronnie Al. And Ronnie Al is one of the true fighters from Texas. And I'd like to give 30 seconds to Mr. Al to remember him, as we do all the pioneers and legends and sport karate people to help build this incredible sport in America. So for our friend Ronnie Al, 30 seconds. Rest in peace, Ronnie. Hey, guys. Welcome to a Tuesday night. We're here in January. I can't believe it's getting cold. It's getting hot. It's getting cold here in Texas. And things are going pretty good, though. We've got a really great year planned and lots of cool things. And this show tonight is an exciting show. I've got so much to share and talk about. But I've got a couple guests tonight that one I've known and watched going to one of the top kata competitors in the state. And she also works for my friend, Mr. Norris, for Kickstart. And then also a great producer and one of the sponsors, or the person that helped develop Team Revolution, Mr. Connell Lovitz. And we'll be bringing them on in just a little bit. But the very first thing I've got to talk about is this past weekend in Durant, Oklahoma, at the Rick Arnold's Accent Black Belt Show. And it was something like I've never really been to before. It was a thank you to 20 or so individuals that had been a part of the Arnold family life. And his whole family went up for black belt, but he surrounded it with a spectacular show. But brought in people like Mr. Bill Wallace, Mr. Jeff Smith, Mr. Jason Wagley, Mr. Juan Galvan, Dr. Ted Demardella, Danny Brashear. There was just so many different people and honored people with a group that they started as a nonprofit association called MAD, Making a Difference, M-A-D, Making a Difference. And they certainly did this weekend. Big, big kudos, Mr. Rick Arnold, to step up and care for the legends like that. And every time you get people like Mr. J. Pat Burleson and Mr. Jamie Cashin and Bill Wallace and Jeff Smith in the same room together, it's pretty cool. So thank you so much for doing that. And a big shout out to Haley Arnold, who was the kind of leader of the group to put everything together. And very exciting show in Durant, Oklahoma at the Choctaw Casino. God bless those guys. Well, you know, right off the bat, you know, our show is built around an incredible book called The Who's Who in the Martial Arts. And this year, my producer, Hansi Jesse Bowen, is also taking on to help Master Sithu Goldberg with Action Martial Arts Magazine, which I've been a fan and also a worker for him for almost 20 years also. Sipa Goldberg, as you know, is an amazing person. But they put together an Action Martial Arts directory, and this is pretty cool. Now, tonight, if anybody would like to call in and or go to Facebook and hit the like show on the radio network, and you can actually get a free T-shirt. But if you order a book, that's right. If you actually order a book, would it be the Action Martial Arts Directory or the Who's Who Martial Arts Legend book or the any one of the books that they've worked on so hard for the past few years, at ActionMartialArtsDirectory.com, you'll get a free T-shirt, which is a value of about $24.99. So anytime tonight that you listen to the show and you go to ActionMartialArtsDirectory.com, order one of the books, or the new Action Martial Arts Directory, which is really exciting. or contact some of your favorite martial artists, and that's .com. Please, you'll also get a free T-shirt. Well, you know, the neat thing about sponsorship, and this is one of our subjects we're talking about tonight with the Wolverine later on. I've got to put a big shout out to Century, Mr. Dillard, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Paul Webb, the president, Mr. Robbie Beard. They just sent me a few hundred patches of the Museum of Sport Karate patches, and they also, of course, helped sell the book Memoirs of American Samurai. But big shout out to Century and the family there. And I can't wait to the Super Show in July, 1st through the 3rd, on Bellagio, and the incredible show that you guys have put on with the Martial Arts Super Show. But thank you, Mr. Dillard, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Webb, and Jan, and everybody there at Maya. You guys are the real deal and real family to the Sport Karate Museum. Well, tonight I have a very special double guest. I have the producer and the founder of Team Evolution, and I have one of his members of the team, and also putting on a tournament February 16th, I believe. I hope that's the right day, down here in Houston at Miss Chelsea Clark, which I mentioned earlier, one of the top kata performers in the state of Texas. Now, I'd like to bring him on at this moment. Well, Connell, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Professor?
I'm doing great. And Chelsea, are you there?
Hi there. How are you, sir?
Aloha, Chelsea. Welcome to the show. And welcome, Connell.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys taking time and share with me some of the information and the questions I'm going to ask tonight. So ladies are always first. Chelsea, how long have you been a black belt? And I know that you're working for Mr. Norris for quite a while. Tell me a little bit about your history. Who did you train with, and what year did you make black belt?
Well, I have been a black belt. It's actually going to be 10 years this May, and I have been training since 2004 when I started at the Kickstart Kids program at Dulles Middle School as a sixth grader. And I grew up and became an instructor for them, so I'm celebrating my fifth year running my own Kickstart Kids school.
Wow, that's pretty good. Now, tell me a little bit about your competition. I know that you're an incredible competitor. I've watched you compete, but I got a great story I'll share with you before you tell me a little about your competition. I was watching a young girl at state this year at Wayne Wynn's TKO Nationals, and she was really, really good. You know, I watch a lot of kids, but this girl had something different about her. You know, I just could tell she was a champion, and she'd been trained by somebody special. I had no idea who she was trained by. So I walked up to her, and I said, "That's very neat. I think she was running Basai." And I go, "That's very unique. You're doing that very, very strong. Who's your instructor?" And she pointed right at you. And I knew then that she was being trained by someone that's really authentic. So that's a compliment. I don't know if
you've gotten
too many compliments. I'm sure you have. But as far as an old karate guy, I don't give out too many compliments. So thank you for that information.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You. Now, Connell, if you got your team members like her, and I know like Jenny Rico, you got some incredible people. Tell me some of your team members in a minute, but I want to talk about you a little bit. Now, how did you get started, and what year did you make black belt?
I started somewhere in the 2000s, and I was actually one of those parents that sat on the sideline for a little bit and watched my kids, and then I just realized that, wow, I know just as much as they know, and I got a dare from one of my good friends, and she actually said, "Hey, listen, you know what? If I join, will you join?" And I thought she was just trash talking, and she ended up one day I walked in, there she was in her uniform, and so I kept my word, and it changed my life. I'm gonna give a real, real quick story. I don't want to dominate because I really don't like talking about myself, but after I joined, within the first 6 months or so, I made yellow belt, and we had a kid that had some mental and physical challenges. And my sensei said, "You know, Mr. Lovell's got to take him off the mat, and let's take him in the back, and you work with him." And I worked with them for about a month. And one day my sensei came in, Grandmaster Willie Adams, and he came in and he said, so how's it going? And the little kid ran up to him and gave him a hug. And he said, you know what, Mr. Lovelace is the greatest teacher in the world. And after that, just my life changed. And I knew that this is what I needed to do and to have an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. So it's actually changed everything that I thought, the direction that I thought I was going to go in and all. So I've been blessed. I've really been blessed.
That's what it is, Connie. That's a blessing. So, you know, because what you've done is that you've gone against the grain because, you know, there's all kinds of teams out there. But through the years, and I've watched Team Revolution, through the years,
yes,
they've really built up a reputation to be not only authentic, but very strong. And and the few people
Thank
I mentioned,
you.
Denny and Chelsea, they're pretty, pretty amazing ladies. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's go back.
Yes,
when
sir.
Did you have the vision of forming Team Revolution? And what was the original idea of forming a team?
Just like I was telling you, that opportunity to make a difference. So we were at a tournament, and it was just my school team, and there were these two young ladies that approached me. Both of them were world champions, and they approached me and said, "Mr. Lovelace, man, your team, you know, how come you haven't asked us to be on your team?" And I'm like, first of all, you're like world champion, so I didn't know you were even noticing. I said, so I'm really shocked. And what they said was, you know, Mr. Lovelace, you guys are always together. You cheer, you pull for each other, but it's like a family, and that's something that we don't have. We typically go to these tournaments by ourselves, and we're alone. And after I did that, I started thinking, and I started looking at all these people, and you know this. You've been to huge tournaments, and there's that one kid or that one adult that's by themselves, and the person that they're competing against has 10, 20 people screaming and yelling for them.
Absolutely. I was that
right?
one kid, Carnell. Absolutely. I understand completely. Absolutely.
And so,
absolutely.
And so that's actually how this whole thing came about, was being able to – for people to feel like they're part of something. I know sometimes that people question, why be on a team? You know, why not be on your school team or something? And I've gotten a lot of that. And it's like, until you've been at a tournament by yourself, and just like you said, and you're on that island by yourself with no one to back you, no one to be there to lift your spirits, no one to, after the tournament's over, to sit and eat and talk and laugh with, it's something. It's a whole different feel. Just like this weekend,
well,
you know, I appreciate
that answer. Absolutely, that means that I can feel that you're doing this from the heart, and that's important.
Yes, sir.
It's interesting. You know, it's one of the subjects tonight that Wolverine and I are going to be talking about sponsorships and stuff. But you know, I believe in what you said. I know that when I was a Sherman Oaks Raider for 12 years on the Pops, you know, there's three things that was mandatory. One, you had to be good. You had to be good enough to win a grand. Not just the first place, but a grand. You had to be that. You had to, in your mind, think you could do that. And then the second thing is that you had to be voted in by every team member.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to literally talk to every team member. Whether all of them knew you or not, you had to talk to them. And they had to make a total decision that you could be part of that team of a Sherman Oak Raider. And then the third part, which was really easy for me, you had to be a little crazy to be a Raider. And those two qualifications,
right.
I was with Pops for 12 years. But, you know, I've got to ask you another question, too.
Yes, sir.
I love the color of the uniform you wore. You chose that green color. What came about that choice?
So it was I was driving to the dojo, and I started thinking about my colors, right? And the thought was, what would stand out? And even the name Revolution, it was while I was driving, and I came up with it that you know what, we're going to make a difference. And sometimes the only way you can make a difference is through a revolution. And so my thought,
good,
I went against the grain. I went against, I'll be honest with you, there's only a few people that know the inside story of the number of people that doubted, had negative things to say. You know, I was ostracized for a little while about what I was trying to do, but no one could feel, no one could understand what I wanted to do and what difference and changes that I wanted to make. And even now I've noticed in with some other teams that, you know what, whatever I've done, they've taken a look and they're starting to follow that. And to what you were saying about the crazy and whatever, oh yeah, my guys are crazy, but I will tell you what.
Let's talk about some of your guys. Let's talk about some of the people on Team Revolution. Besides Chelsea, of course, but let's talk about Miss Danny Rico. She's an amazing fighter. She fought actually this year at Legend and caught a competitor, but she's an amazing. She's also, I believe, she's a Golden Greek winner, which I won that a few years back too myself.
Oh,
I know that she's incredible. Now, tell me about some of your other fighters, though, maybe outside of Texas.
Okay, so the great thing is we started off kind of local, and then this thing expanded. So we're in five different countries.
Wow.
And we're in Mexico, obviously, U.S., Canada, Guatemala, and we are in Puerto Rico. So we've got competitors all over.
I want to make it hard on you because I know it put you on the spot. Let's tell me your one of your competitors in Guatemala.
Yes.
I have some good context on there.
Yes. So I've got Valley Morales and I've got Luis Chang. Both of these guys, top notch fighters. I tell you what drew me to both of them. What drew me to both of them was character, how they handle winning and losing, and both of them are so humble that it's the quality that makes Revolution what it is, right?
Cool. My character is just, another country. What's another country that you're in?
Well, we're in Puerto Rico. We've got a few people there. Jonathan, actually, like Jonathan Santos, is one of our people from Puerto Rico. I think he's trying to move to the United States. So that might change.
Cool.
And actually, we've been talking to a few people. We might even end up having a tournament down in Puerto Rico. So I'm looking forward to that. And right before I talk to you, I've started the conversation with some people down there. So that's pretty good. I got great Canadian fighters. One of my Canadian fighters is Liam North. Liam North fought this weekend at AKA Warrior Cup and won the 14-15-year-old division at his first year, his first tournament.
Yeah.
So huge, huge kudos to him. Here's
the rumor. This is one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show, is that the rumor is, and it's not a rumor, you're coming to Texas. And so Chelsea, is it saying Chelsea or Chelsea? Help me.
Chelsea.
Chelsea. Okay, that sounds sweeter. Thank you. okay, so Chelsea, you're actually producing the tournament. Tell me where it's going to be at, what's the entry fee, and what date exactly is it going to be? Was I right? Was it February 16th, 2 days after Valentine's Day?
Yes, sir. 2 days after Valentine's
Day,
February 16th. And
so you're
going to be held at...
And all the beautiful women from Texas at your tournament?
Yes,
mandatory.
All the beautiful women that can also hit pretty hard. They're coming through.
Chelsea, you know what I did one year at the Legends? I actually hired like 30 Hooter girls to give out the trophies to the Legends one year. It works.
Oh, my God.
To have beautiful women at your tournament. But let's get back to your tournament. Where is it at? We got February 16th. How much it cost to go there? Who's invited? And we'll talk about the divisions. Talk to me a little bit. Talk to me.
Well, it's at Meyerland Middle School on February 16th, and it is a super regional qualifier for the WKC, so top 8 places in WKC divisions qualify for the national team trials in June.
That's pretty
and
exciting
registration,
right there.
I'd really like to see some of the talent that we have in the Houston area get an opportunity to go be a part of Team USA because there's some strong karate in this region.
Now, where's that going to be at, that tournament, the championship, if you get qualified?
The national team trials are in Detroit.
Okay.
Yep.
In June.
Yeah.
Good. Now, who heads up that
organization? That's WKC. So if you qualify, so what's really great is our event
is. Is that Richard Problems Group?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yes, sir.
Garrett,
yes, sir.
My son Garrett and Willie Hicks, you know, they're like bosom buddies. They went up
right
there and they fought. So, yeah, that's a great tournament circuit. That's exciting. So that's a qualification for that circuit. Super. Now,
correct.
How much cost to enter?
The cost is $45 for the first division and $5 for each additional division before, as far as pre-registration.
Okay, and the spectator's cost?
I believe spectator cost is $8 pre-registration.
$8.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Now, tell me about some of the divisions that you're going to offer. Let's start with the children's divisions.
So for underbelt divisions, they're going to be able to compete in kata, weapons, and sparring. Just because since they're not WKC qualifying divisions, we don't have the big range, but there's still options to choose from to show off what they've been working on.
Will they be able to do creative or musical or weapons or just those divisions?
So this year, that's a great question. So this year, as a kickoff, what we're doing is we're going to keep the underbelts basic. Next year, we're going to expand into some other areas.
Okay.
But what's really great about this is underbelts can compete in the WKC divisions. So that's an opportunity that they don't normally get at other tournaments. And again, we're top eight, makes it to nationals. And then this year, the world championships are in Niagara Falls. So that's another great opportunity.
Oh, yeah, they all go get a passport and go over the falls and go get a world championship. That's cool.
That's it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, now let me ask you about the adult division. And all the way white belt through brown belt and then, of course, black belt divisions. What do you offer for the black belt divisions?
The black belt divisions are basically qualifiers for the nationals. But we are looking
I'm asking, what you got? Lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight, or just lightweight, heavyweight?
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm asking. Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, so they're divided, and that again, that's another great question. So they're divided into the different weight classes that qualify you for the nationals. So it's not just lightweight, heavyweight. It is by kilograms.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, the men alone have eight different weight classes, so. Everybody's
lumped
together in two or three.
Yeah,
right.
And that's just something that the Wolverine, we've talked about that. That's an interesting subject. Okay, so now we've got, how about weapons or kata? Do you have divisions for that?
Absolutely.
Do you mix kung fu with traditional karate? Or do you separate Korean, Japanese, Okinawan? Do you separate it or you all kind of put them together?
No,
we
separate.
Style. Yeah, it's all different. There's like four or five different traditional kata divisions.
Well, can you name them? Because if people are listening and they want to come,
We got hard style. We got Korean. We got Chinese/soft style. We've got freestyle, extreme, classical kata, traditional weapons, creative weapons, and open/musical weapons.
And what's the age? You gonna have different age groups like 18 to 30 and 35 and above, you got to separate up. What's the highest? What's the oldest kid that compete and have a chance to win? You have a 60
40?
And above?
42
plus. We got 42 plus.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's good. And Ms. Chelsea and Connell, be honest with me.
Yes,
when I ask questions, I don't mean to be prideful, but here's what happens. Most people who put on events, They just assume that everybody knows what's going on because it's one every weekend, sometimes five on the same weekend in the same city. That's how crazy it is. So,
yeah.
You know, when I interview my friends, and Chelsea is my friend, and you're my friend too, Cornell, I want to make sure that everybody has all the information and there's no questions asked. They can come and have a great time, and that's important. So what day, what time are you going to open up, Chelsea?
Doors are going to open at 8 a.m., and we bow in at 9.
Super. Now, I asked permission, because I haven't actually talked to you yet, but I'll do it officially now. But I asked permission from Mr. Lovelace that I could have a booth there and have, you know, a couple tables to set up for the museum. May I do that?
Yes, sir, of course. We appreciate the support.
Well, you've been there. In fact, you've hung out with me at the museum booth, and so you know the beautiful stuff I bring. And I'll bring up, since it's in Houston, I'll bring some really cool stuff for your spectators and Blackbills to see. And I appreciate it so much. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Chelsea. I really am.
You
turned into a great competitor, but you turned into a producer now. And you got some good people. I mean, Connell, not only being a producer himself, but also being the founder of Team Revolution, that's really exciting. It is. I'm glad for Houston.
Yep. Well, can we mention one more thing, if we could take this opportunity? I definitely want to mention that on Friday, we've got 5 world champions. We've got 4 great seminars, and that's on Friday. And what we're doing is
who's going to be there?
Well, I've got Clarissa Villanueva. She's doing stretching and kicking. I have Abaya Williams coming in from Augusta, Georgia. He's doing kung fu. I've got Kaylin Kowalski doing Japanese forms. And then I've got Tracy Armstead and Marco Villanueva doing open forms. So
Tracy's one of my champions, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me ask, is that going to be Friday at the same place the tournament's going to be at?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, then I can set up Friday then, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Super. Well, listen, we got to talk more about these seminars. I want to talk about it a little bit more. Say them again and say it slow for my listeners, please. Who's going to be there and what time it starts?
I'm gonna let Chelsea. You got it, Chelsea?
Yes, sir. So the seminars are from 6 to 8 p.m., and people that attend have the option of taking 2 different seminars because they're going to be an hour each. And the 4 seminars that we are offering are stretching and kicking with Clarissa Villanueva, open creative forms with Marco Villanueva and Tracy Armstead, Japanese traditional forms with Kaylin Kowalski, and kung fu with Abaya Williams. And this will be from 6 to 8 p.m. Now, if you're a registered competitor, the cost is only $30. If you're not competing, the cost is $40 for the 2 seminars. But you have an opportunity to train with these 5 world champions.
Well, can I have permission to advertise this on every one of my shows? Because I'm on every Tuesday night, and I can advertise that as much as you allow me to. I'll let people know
that. Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, then
that would
do me a
great
favor then. I will give you my email, and if you can email that information to me, so it'll be in front of me in my desk in my office, and I'll put it on the air every Tuesday night until the tournament. That gives us about 3 weeks of advertising for you, okay?
Thank you.
Here it is. I'll go ahead and give it to you, ProfessorGaryLee@gmail.com.
Got
That's
it.
That's where
Thank
all the
you,
hate
sir.
Mail goes to and all the positive input mail goes to. Cool. Okay. Before we go ahead.
All I need is if you're gonna do that, I just need to get a book. I need a Who's Who's book.
Yeah, you just go to Who's Who in the Martial Arts .com, or you go to you go to Action Martial Arts Directory .com, or you can call Haunted Jesse Bowen directly. I'm sure he's listening now. And call him directly, and he can order for you.
Okay.
And get your T-shirt. So,
all right, great.
Here's the thing I want to ask you, Connell. You've known me for a long time, from the early days of NBL. And no one even knew back then that I was going to do this thing called the Sport Karate Museum and keep it in everybody's space like I have for 20 years. As someone who's doing what you're doing now with Team Revolution, and touching so many people's lives. And definitely tonight, honestly, on a one-on-one basis, I felt your heart that you shared with them that you're a different type of producer, you're a different type of promoter, and you're a different type of coach. And that's what we need today. But my question is very simple. How important is the Sport Karate Museum archives to keep the history in everybody's face where it started in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even the early 90s? How important is the Team Revolution? How important is it to you and Chelsea?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Well, let's start with this. It's just like if anybody wanted to understand, if they were a football player, to understand the people that came before them, that led, created the path for them to be successful. There's no LeBron James without Michael Jordan. There's no Michael Jordan without Dr. J. There's no Dr. J, you know, before Bob Cousy and those type of guys.
And it's
the same thing. And even as we've talked a few times and all, I'm still learning and understanding what our history is and understanding how that foundation laid something for me. And then I'm hoping that I'm laying a foundation for someone else and so forth and so on. So if we don't understand where we came from, we don't understand where we're going. That's just
exactly.
As simple as it gets.
How do you feel about it, being the younger generation, being a lady? And by the way, did you realize, in fact, I invited you. I know I did. We had over 100 black belt women come to the Legends this year. So my point is, how do you feel as a lady and being who you do, how important is that the history is taught?
It is so important to have people to look up to and to learn from and follow their journeys. And especially as a female martial artist, sometimes it's harder to find people to look up to, but getting to have a chance to look at history and learn about people like Linda Denley and to follow the careers of Regina Thompson and learn from some of the amazing women. And it gives me something to model myself after and grow from. So it's important to keep our history because that's a past.
Well, I don't mean to ramble, but I'm going to tell you a little bit of history, and I think I'll make you smile. You know, back in the day when Mr. Norris had the vision of going into the schools and helping, there was just one or two schools that did the Kick Drugs Out of America, he got involved with a very good friend of mine who became my friend, and I'll tell you the reason why. His name is Jim McInville, as you know, from Gallery Furniture. And
yes, sir.
Basically, I was doing Kids Expo, and I got the letters that Mr. Norris gathered, the hundreds of letters from Kick Drugs Out of America, and I went to various schools because I was doing all the elementary schools and the demonstrations and shows. And I bet I dropped that information packet at least 100 elementary schools around the Houston area. Now, there was only a few in the early years. Yes, ma'am. But it gets better. Mr. Ed Daniel, the great legend from Texas, and Mr. J. Pat Burleson, they were very good friends of Mr. McInville. In fact, Mr. McInville used to train with Ed Daniels and Mr. Burleson. And they called Mr. McInville up. And they said, this guy in Houston, he's working, creating this museum, but he's been roasting, you know, me. He's talking about J. Pat Burleson. J. Pat was talking to him. And he says, I'd like for you to help me as much as you can. Well, I didn't know Mr. McInville. I knew that he'd be working with Mr. Norris. I knew that we'd done sidekicks, but I didn't know him on a personal basis. And this is what he did. He called me, and he said, Gary, I'm Jim McInville. J. Pat Burleson and Ed Daniel recommended I called you, and would you be interested in meeting for lunch, and we can discuss what you're going to do for J. Pat Burleson? Of course, I said yes, but then I became an airhead, Chelsea. I forgot to call him when I got tired of doing something else.
No.
It gets really good here. So what I did was about 30 minutes after I realized I wasn't going to make it, I got involved with something else, so I didn't even call him for until about an hour after the appointment. So when I called him, Mr. McInville, you know, he sits there like the general in front of the gallery furniture, and he picked up the phone, and he says, you know, he answers it, and I said, Mr. McInville, this is Gary Lee, and he was quiet for about 5 seconds, and then he says, can you be here tomorrow morning? I'm here at 8 o'clock. I said, absolutely, sir. And I went to apologize, and he kind of cut me off. He said, it's okay, just be here tomorrow morning. Okay, well, I got there at 7:30. When the doors opened up, I was the first one in. He looked at me, and he said, Gary, would you go over and sit on the couch, please? And, you know, when he's got the Elvis's pink Cadillac in there, right? And right beside it, he's got this couch. So I said, yes, sir. So I went over and sat on the couch. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
12 o'clock. 1 o'clock, the secretary came over and said, Mr. McInvitt will see you now in his office. And I walked in, and, of course, I apologized. I said, I learned my lesson very deeply. I understand. He didn't even mention that. He just said, what can I do for you? I asked him for the books. He gave me like 20 books he autographed right there in front of me. And then he made an incredible contribution to the roast. And then he sponsored Garrett, who you know, my son. He sponsored him for like 4 tournaments. And we put the gallery furniture banner up. And, you know, wow. Jim McInvitt is my friend. But if it wasn't for Mr. Chuck Norris, I wouldn't have met Mr. Jim McInvitt. And so what I'm saying that you're part of a history of from Kick Drugs of America to Kickstart to working with Gina, the incredible woman that Mr. Norris married, and, of course, the Mr. Norris Foundation. And, you know, like I said, I just wanted to take an opportunity to share that with you because you're with an amazing, amazing group of people. And I just know you're just getting better and better and better what you do. Well, listen, Connell and Chelsea, thank you so much for sharing about Team Revolution. And I'm looking forward to February 16th. Again, Chelsea, can you give me a number or an email that people can contact you about this information on this tournament?
Yes, they can send an email to Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A-E, Clark, C-L-A-R-K, at hotmail.com with any questions.
Super. And by the way, every time I set up an appointment now, I am always 15 minutes early, and I'm very much on time. Connell, do you understand that story I just shared? You know, it's pretty amazing that what a person has to learn the hard way to learn how to do things the right way. So, Connell, thank you for being on the show tonight. I appreciate it so much. Chelsea, thank you for being on the show tonight. You guys
take
care.
Thank you for having us, sir. You take care.
God bless you. God bless you. Well, hey, guys, you know, one of the things that we wanted to talk about tonight was this incredible concept that came up 2 years ago, and it was called, basically, Mako's Question and Answers. Well, you know, it's pretty interesting what we've done. We found an engine that we can actually use through Facebook, and you go into Messenger, and you can actually ask questions to the great and powerful Wizard of Trivia, which is fronted by Mako, the great actor, rest in peace. But nonetheless, Mako was an incredible man. He was actually my instructor for many years. He was a Shotokan practitioner, but he was also a sword man. And that's what I learned some of my techniques from sword was actually from Mako. Now, you can go to the actual Facebook page, and it's the Sport Karate Museum, Mako's Questions and Answers. And you go into the messenger part and you ask the question, will come up, will be Mako's face in a wizard position. And he'll say, greetings, humble Gary. I am Mako, the great and powerful wizard of trivia. Review the choices below and make your selection if you dare. If you are worthy, I shall provide you with the knowledge you seek. Welcome, unworthy one. From the four corners of the world, we would challenge you with the knowledge that only has been shared with the truly worthy. Tell me, Gary, what level of mastery would you, as a pebble, like you want to attempt? Well, that's the explanation. You have a choice. You can ask the question as a student, someone just beginning in martial arts. Or you can ask the question, you're already an instructor. You're a Shihan. You're someone that established yourself as a master instructor. So you want to be asked, you want to be answered the question on that level. And then you can ask the question as a Hachi, us, as someone that knows. So the question will be answered more of a philosophy type way. So you have actually 3 choices. So a student, you choose. Well, student Gary, Let's see how good your training has been so far. Let's begin. Well, that's where the questions are asked, and the questions will be answered. Check it out. It's on Facebook. Check it out. Sport Karting Museum. Make those questions and answers. The master of trivia. Well, I'd like to bring on my friend, student, and someone that we have discussions with on a weekly basis. It's called Kicking with the Wolverine. Mr. Dean Piles, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Wow, it's been an interesting show so far, huh?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
sir,
talking about...
Great show.
I really enjoyed talking to Connell Lovelace and Chelsea Clark, and they're talking about Team Revolution, which is one of the many teams out there. And that's kind of like the subject I like to talk about tonight. I like to talk about, you know, what it's like to be on a team and to have a sponsorship. But the first subject to kind of lead into that, you know, and it really has something to do with it, maybe, I don't know. It kind of got to me because I see a lot of this. How many awards does it take to really satisfy the sense of winning an award? To me, it's always been about just winning one, or at that moment when the time arrived, I decided to compete to win that one. I never thought about winning 30, 40, 50, 60 awards, you know, 20 rings, or, you know, I never thought about that. Do you think that it bothers people sometimes when they win too much? I mean, I know that's a question that people don't even want to talk about, but just Wolverine, you think you can win too much?
Well, I mean, I guess you can win
too much. I'm talking about physical awards. I'm not talking about physically winning, but winning all these awards, I mean, I mean, you won an immense amount. I mean, this week alone, you won two or three or four rings. I don't know. Does it ever get too much? That's one.
I mean, you know, I guess it's all in how you look at it or why you're doing it. You know, if your main reason is just to win awards, you know, then you probably feel like you can't ever get enough. You know, if the main thing that you're concerned about is becoming better and more efficient as a martial artist, then it really doesn't matter about the awards. You know, I mean, I appreciate the awards and these people trying to put in a lot of time and effort into making good awards to show the appreciation for people's hard work. But at the same time, my whole reasoning for competing, as you know, is to make sure that I elevate my skill levels and to keep progressing as a person and a martial artist. You know, that's me personally. Now, other people, you know, it may be completely different.
You know, I'm not going to talk about karate for a moment. I'm going to talk about Muhammad Ali. I was in Washington, D.C. I was hitchhiking. I was young. I was like 21, 22 years old. And I heard that Muhammad Ali was going to be at this huge center, and he was going to receive a ring and this award. So I really wanted to be there. I wanted to see Muhammad Ali. So I remember hitchhiking to this convention center, working my way, and I was there with thousands and thousands of people. Now, in the front rows, the first four or five rows, there were very specially gifted kids, meaning there were wheelchairs, crutches. They were gifted children, okay? And you had them all in the front rows there. And he was receiving this award and this beautiful ring. And I remember walking down the aisleway, and all these people, I mean, just thousands of people, if you can imagine. And he goes in the front, and he receives this award, and then this guy gives him a ring. It's just beautiful. And he looks at it, and he says, you know, I appreciate this, but the person who deserves the ring the most, and I guess he just picked her. She was a little girl sitting in a wheelchair, and Muhammad Ali gave her that ring. I'm telling you, it was the thing that changed me about giving back, realizing you can have so much that you give back. Tonight, I felt when I interviewed Mr. Lovelace, he's one of these guys, he doesn't care about the money or the funding, he just wants to give back. He's put together an attitude, and he's passed it on to a team. You know, I think, you know, in my heart that there's guys out there that put together teams, and they're very egotistic, but there's some people out there like Mr. Loveless tonight, so there's a different aspect of that. Now, I'm going to be very blunt with you. I know that there's people that have called you up, no names mentioned, because I don't do that, but they promised you, you know, to be able to put their name on the back of a uniform. And I asked you the other day, I said, what do you get out of that? And you couldn't tell me anything. Now, I don't understand that part of team sponsorship. I also don't understand the team sponsorship where they on a team and they don't pay entry fees or expenses to get you there by force. And I know that people say, well, you have to be on a different level to do that. Well, I disagree. I remember Judge Roy Kirbin, Jose Santa Maria, George Minshew, and a couple other people put together a packet, and I got a sponsorship with Del Monte and was carrying, how about a nice Hawaiian punch in the back of my uniform for 2 years, and I didn't pay for anything. I stayed at the Hilton, and who I still am with, the Living Legends, as you know, and I didn't have to take care of a room. And then I was sponsored by Infinity when that new company from Japan came to America, and because of Judge Roy Kirbin, I got to drive an Infinity for 2 years. So I'm telling you, people can get sponsored. Why aren't they out there getting sponsored? And why aren't they working harder to not worry about the stress of paying expenses, but the stress of just training? See, that was the real joy. Once you have a sponsor, all you do is train. Talk to me, Wolverine. I know I'm rambling because I'm very passionate about it.
No, and you're exactly right. And, that was the whole thing, and that's, you know, the whole reason I called you to talk to you about it because, you know, I mean, for me, our school, you know, we have a team, Team PVT, which is a double acronym for Prayers, Vitamins, and Training in Piles Valley 2.0. But the thing of this, it's a school team, and I passed down the things that were taught to me by Grandmaster Lewis, yourself, and O-Sensei Earwood to my students. So when we compete, it's about seeing how, you know, our style from our teachers and giving back honor. So our team, even though it's a school team inside an actual school, you know, I've made it a team to where we're getting sponsors and trying to pay the full ride for my students, so all they have to worry about is training. And you're right, if you're going to be part of a team, especially if you're winning a lot, it looks to me like they would take care of more than a discount code or a, embroidering a uniform or whatever. Not knocking that, if that's what some people want, that's fine.
Okay,
but
look, Dean, I know I started rambling because I was on a few teams, but my last team that I remember that was the most enjoyable, the most fun, was the latter part of my career. I was a Sherman Oaks Raider. Pops, Bernie Kranznew, from the time I left my doorstep to the time I got back home, I was taken care of. I'm not talking about just food. I'm talking about airfare. I'm talking about entry fee. I'm talking about a bag. I'm talking about uniform. I'm talking about Uber, taxi to and from. Any expense I incurred to get me to a tournament so I could either compete, either in fighting, weapons, or kata, Mr. Kranzer or Pops took care of us. And he didn't just take care of me. He took care of every team member. You know, I mean, we had an incredible team. And he made it, he got the sponsors, and, you know, he made it happen for us. So we didn't, and he made it clear, he didn't want us to stress on the expenses of competing. He wanted us to stress in training. So I can, and then I look back at remember the Trans World team that Mr. Chuck Merbin ran, the Trans World Oil team? I know for a fact that if they won first places, they got automatically $500. If they won grand at a tournament, their sponsor, the Trans World Oil team, they got $5,000. That's a sponsorship. You know?
Right.
So,
Yeah, and
I think kids have to work at it.
And like I say, a lot of these teams are basically not really teams; they're clubs. You know, where you're part of a group of people that ascend, and then once you get to competition, you kind of come together. In my opinion, a team is, you know, they travel to the competition together, they train together, they work together. They have one head that is working and helping and training them and driving them into a certain direction. To me, that's what a team is, but everybody's different. You know, that's just my opinion. You know,
are there known scouts now in open tournaments like the Battle of Atlanta and these big?
I mean, I'm sure
tournaments?
They are. Yeah, I'm sure they are scouting to look for people for Paul Mitchell or, you know, teams like that where, you know, I'm sure, you know, yes, they are. But, you know, the thing of it is martial arts also is not, you know, it should be, but they don't do it like other sports. It's still considered, you know, a lower level than other athletic sports. But the problem is the people in sport karate – have more athleticism, more, you know, hand-eye coordination, more balance, more precision than any type of sports competitor out there. The only one that would come close to that next would be, you know, gymnastics where they're cutting backflips on a 4-inch wide beam. You know, martial artists are flipping weapons and flipping themselves with the weapons, not only, and I know that's trick karate, you know, or flashy, but the athleticism you have to get to that point is at a whole nother level. When if you had, you know, you look at a baseball team, you have people that are good at different things, football team, people that are good at different things. But you look at a sport karate level, look at the athleticism of each player that is out there competing that day. It's crazy. So, you know, they
you
should
think,
be held
let me ask you
in
a question.
Higher regard.
Do you think that if you have this beautiful uniform on and you're on a known team, you're going to get 2, 3, 4 more tips of a higher score? You think it plays a part?
Sometimes it plays a part, yeah, because, you know, I mean, it's just like our buddy Jerry Fontenay says, and I'm sure he don't mind me using his name because he's big on, you know, he's kind of like the Wolverine, except he's fast feet, and he just, you know, he tells it like it is. But, you know, sometimes these teams become gangs and they overshadow and yell and holler so much at the judges and at the competitors that the judges get confused and they don't know what the heck they're doing, but they know they're going to go with, you know, where they're hearing all this yelling and stuff because they definitely don't want to make that big crowd mad. Yeah, I do think it plays a part, you know, as anything, you know, that's just life. That's just the way it goes. Some judges are not going to be persuaded by it. Some may be. You know, it's hard to tell who would be or who wouldn't be, but, you know, some are going to be. And that's just a cold, hard fact. Now, that might make some people mad, but, you know, the bottom line is the truth is the truth, and if you can't handle the truth, then you don't need to be listening to the Wolverine because I'm going to tell it like it actually is, that's what you asked me to do, and that's what I do. So, I mean, that's the actually truth of it, you know.
Let me ask you a question. Do you, at the level that you are right now in competing, and like I said, I've not guided you on this level, and I'm just kind of asking you, are you approached a lot by people to put you on their team?
Am I impressed?
No, are you approached by a lot of people to put you on their team?
Yes, sir.
How do you handle that? How do you say to them? I mean, because I know you're – look, first of all, I know you're kind of a Ronin, okay? Okay?
Exactly.
That you belong to everybody, but you belong to nobody. Even me, you're a Ronin. And that's one of the reasons I love you. But
right.
I'm just wondering, and the level that you are, do you think a lot of people are being approached by members because they think they want the best facing each other? I mean, what's going on out there in the open circle right now?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these teams are. They're looking for people that are winning the divisions that they're in, and then they want to put them on their team so that, you know, they have those wins accredited to their team. That's what they're doing. They're looking for people everywhere.
So you're saying that a person is chosen for a team, he doesn't really care about if his entry's paid or he's got a badge with a name on it or even you know uniform. He just wants to be on a team.
Some of them want to be part of something, and that comes yeah. from schools that maybe don't compete, and you know they're out there. But the sad thing about it is, some of these people are really good, and they may have an instructor that has put a lot of time and energy and work into them to make them that good. And then these people leave that person, go with a big team, and then once the big team's finished with them and they put them off of the team or they're done sponsoring them, then that person actually becomes a Ronin because they have nowhere to go because the school that give them the skills feel betrayed. You know, so it's a slippery slope, and do you accept, do you not accept, you know, what do you do, and you know, things of that nature. So, obviously, I always consult with you before I make any decisions because you're my instructor, and that's where I would go.
My flashbacks are with the Team Metro, Area's Best, the Guatemala Schumann's team, of course, Raiders. And now there's all kinds of teams. You know, I can't even think about them. I had to get busy.
You know, Jane Lewis had Team Disneyland.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, and you know, teams are good. It's good that they get together and do that.
Well, let me ask you. Let's talk positive for a minute. What would you suggest if someone's listening that in their mind they're ready to approach maybe a team? What would just win? Get out there and just win and try to get noticed? That'd be the thing to do, get someone to
pick
you up.
Yeah, if they
want to
get picked up by a team. If they want to get picked up by a team, they need to have skills. You know, that's how they're going to get picked up by a team is by, you know, by being known as the best of the best in their group. Now, you know, like for me, my team, Team PBT, you know, my thing is I don't care if my people are the best. I care that they trying their best and that they're
right.
giving it their all and that they're changing and becoming a better martial artist and a better person. They don't have to be the best in the division. They have to be the best them they can be. That's all I ask. And that's the difference in a sponsored team and a team that has a head or an instructor that is the captain of the team and the trainer of the team, if you know what I'm saying. You know, that's the difference, I think, you know.
Well, I appreciate your time tonight and sharing with me. And looking forward to 2019 with you. We'll be talking about various subjects, but tonight you sharing with me really means a lot, as always. Kicking with the Wolverine
yes,
with Dean Pyle. So you have a good evening, buddy, okay?
You too. Ohala. Mahalo.
Mahalo, buddy. Aloha. Well, also to tonight's show, we'll be talking about something a little bit later on that everyone's asking about. But right now, I'd like to give you a big up on next week's show. We've got Mr. and the one and only, the godfather of sport karate, Mr. Joe Corley, and special guest, Mr. Jeff Smith. And rumor has it I'll get Bill Wallace on the line with him. And Mr. Don Willis will be talking about the new PKA-affiliated school program that you can be a part of. And Mr. Corley will have all that information dealing with that. So if you're listening on next week's show, you can have all the information to become a Professional Karate Association-affiliated school with Mr. Joe Corley, Mr. Jeff Smith, Mr. Don Willis. And hopefully I can get Bill on the line. That'd be really cool. On February, that'd be the 29th, on January the 29th. But February 5th, I have a young man in Deer Park, Texas, who's worked his way up from being one of the toughest brown belts in the USKA and now runs the self-defense studio in Deer Park, Texas, Mr. Chris Yeager. And on February 12th, I have Mr. Alex Hogan, who's a creator and putting the engine together for Mako's Answer and Questions game that we have on Facebook right now. And February 19th, we're going to have the one and only Alex Macias and Eva Ramirez. That's right. One of the great, great new junior fighters out of Texas who's fighting Masca and other tournaments around the country. You know, the sneaky thing about the show is we talk about a lot of subjects and a lot of things. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, is that this show started from a vision of a man taking from a vision from other people. Jan Woolenoff and Dale Cook created a Who's Who in the Martial Art book back in the 80s. I was actually part of the first edition. And through the years, he developed a lot of students. But one of his students, Jesse Bowen, took it to the next level. He created the book, or rewrote the book, got involved with Mr. Smith, Mr. Corey, some incredible people, and he formed the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book and added a Legends book. And now he's working with Sifu Goldberg with a martial art directory. And tonight, if you listen to the show at the latter part, or you came on earlier, right now, if you go to actionmartialartsdirectory.com and order a book, whether it be a directory or a Who's Who book, you'll receive a $24.99 value free T-shirt. And order either the martial art directory or the Who's Who book and receive that. And also go to our Facebook page and click a like, and your name will be put in a drawing, and we'll announce the winners next week, who actually won the book next week. For more information about what I do and what we've done, the Sport Card Museum, and it's really not what I've done, it's what I've done with History Generals, go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, and you can see the webpage that kind of explains the Sport Karate Museum and its vision. The amazing events are coming up. Two I'd like to plug right now. One is on June the 29th at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. Mr. Bowen and the Who's Who Martial Art Book will have their banquet, and they'll be celebrating the man on the cover that well deserves it and recognizes his amazing career. It would be Mr. Stephen Hayes, along with myself and Dana Abbott, will be special guest speakers introducing the Memoirs of American Samurai movie book that Dana actually wrote the character for the book. So we'll be at the Bellagio on June 29th. Then the following day, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, in the Bellagio, the amazing martial arts super show put on by Century Martial Arts and Maya. It'll be one. It is the largest martial arts industry show in the world. But Boost and Benny Akitas and Bill Wallace and the Sport Card Museum booth and all kinds of cool things. But this year we have a tactical flavor at our booth with Paul Pawala from Warrior Magazine and Mr. Mark Johansson, who is the founder and owner of Spartan Tactical Gear, with special guest Mr. Jim Buten, one of the legends of sport karate. So our booth this year is pretty powerful. But I got to add, you know, a really exclamation point to that group. And Mr. Jason Brooks will be there, who is a tactical expert in gun weaponry, self-defense, bodyguard in Las Vegas. So my booth will be well protected this year at the Super Show in Las Vegas at the Bellagio, July 1st through the 3rd. We'll be looking forward to seeing all the people who follow us on Facebook. September the 27th and 28th, Houston, Texas. Darlene McPherson-Pagels and myself put together an event. We call it Kata Wars. It's an association with the Living Legends Celebrity Roast and banquet that we do every year where we roast an individual. This year, Kata Wars is going to be really fun. It's going to be the regular kata division that's open up to all the public and all divisions, along with the bubble kumite division, which is made for kids 10 through 1 years old. We're also going to have surfing kata, where you, children will be able to surf on a surfboard inside the ballroom or do kata on the surfboard and be judged for that. But tonight, or that weekend, on the 27th and 28th of September, we'll be introducing the Funakoshi Traditional Karate Tournament, where we separated Shonryu, Kyokushin, Goju, Ichiryu, Wadoryu, Ishinryu, Goju, all the styles of traditional Okinawa karate. So they had their separate divisions, taking the first places and forming a grand at the Funakoshi Traditional Open. And then taking that person who wins grand will face the open kata division from the Pro Division of Cotter Wars. Now, the Pro Division of Cotter Wars, as you know, for the past 3 years, you have to have 100 first places just to be invited. So the competition is really, really unique. And the scoring system is like being under a microscope. That's Cotter Wars, September the 27th to 28th. And the roasting of yours truly this year. A couple of the history generals said they're tired of me telling stories about them. They're going to tell stories about me. So the roasting of Professor Gary Lee, along with the Living Legends Expo banquet, and the tactical flavor of the seminars this year will be Paul Powalla, Mark Johansson, Mr. Dean Piles, Mr. Jason Brooks, Colonel Phil Torres, and along with the other incredible people of the seminars. But we'll have a tactical flavor this year at the Living Legends 27, the one and only 27 that we're doing. So thank you for supporting this Fort Carter Museum for 20 years, and every day is an adventure. Remember the new question and answer game from the Sport Carter Museum archives, and that is go to Messenger on the Make Us page, and you'll see it on the media. Ask a question as a student or as an instructor or the master senior instructor, and your questions will be answered accordingly or make a sense of knowledge, wit, and humor. Enjoy knowledge in a fun and witty attitude from Mako. Protect your history one question at a time. Now, this has been a lot of fun putting it together. Thank you for letting me introduce it tonight. And thank you for allowing, again, to allow this museum to be a part of the community. And sport karate is very important. Sport karate is a multi-million dollar business. Sport karate in 2020, real sport karate will be introduced into the World Olympics this year in Japan. That is going to change so many different things. It's going to open so many different doors for that young competitor who has a dream of winning a gold medal. My feeling is, because I was a kata fanatic, the feeling of that first kata black belt that wins a gold medal, I just know that's going to be very, very special. Because for all these years with judo and taekwondo, you know, karate, fighting has kind of overwhelmed everything. But I feel in my heart that the world is not ready and will be mesmerized by kata. My dream is to eventually have bunkai, the application of kata, applied in competition so the world can see kata and the bunkai together. And then what would be really, 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 really cool to add weapons or kabuto to Olympic competition. But just being in the Olympics in 2020 is a big deal. And a lot of the community, a lot of the tradition community, the guys from the 90s that were part of the USAF and still part of the USAF with Mr. Patrick Hickey, they're excited just to be able to be a part of the Olympics. And good luck to everybody who's training and working hard for that. Well, you know, we've enjoyed the show tonight. We've had an incredible group. Thank you, Colonel Loveless. Thank you, Chelsea Clark. Thank you, Dean Piles of Wolverine. And thank you, all of you, who take time to listen to us on a Tuesday evening. And thank you for your time and effort in the martial arts. And remember, pass it on. There's always someone out there, one child, one adult, that hasn't been touched by karate do yet. You can be the one that passes it on. You just have a great evening. And as we always say, mahalo and aloha.